This is Morgan Michael, welcoming you to Kindsight 101, the podcast, where you'll hear from world-renowned educational leaders about the mobilizing power of kindness, together by challenging our assumptions and venturing beyond the status quo in education. We can make a big impact, one small act at a time. Today on Mother's Day, I come to you from the comfort of my own bedroom where I'm recording this. My family is downstairs, and I've asked for a slice of time this morning. And although I'm recording this a day later than I would normally record and publish my podcast, which may or may not be something that you've noticed, seeing as the days have all melted into each other, I thought it was important to share this message. And I found this book, which I actually read to my kids last night. It's a beautiful book, and it's called What Do You Do With a Problem? And it's written by Kobe Yamada. I can't guarantee there won't be sounds of children in the background, and I can't guarantee that the blender won't be running. And I can't guarantee that there won't be a knock on the door at some point interrupting this podcast. But what I can guarantee is that this is authentic. And I think this is a message that we all need to hear right now, whether we are parents, whether we are teachers, whether we are teacher parents working from home, trying to make this work while educating our own children, whether we are educators who have just been told, especially in British Columbia, that we will be returning to the classroom on May 19th. And that we will be servicing children by June. And I think the waves of anxiety and panic have been very real for me and for other educators when we think about what the future looks like. And this book, this message is about what do you do with a problem? And I would say this pandemic, the prospect of teaching in a primary classroom with social distancing, all of it is quite a problem. So here it is. I don't know how it happened, but one day I had a problem. I didn't want it. I didn't ask for it. I really didn't like having a problem, but it was there. Why is it here? What does it want? What do you do with a problem? I thought. I wanted to make it go away. I shooed it. I scowled at it. I tried ignoring it, but nothing worked. I started to worry about my problem. What if it swallows me up? What if my problem sneaks up and gets me? What if it takes away all of my things? Who hasn't thought that? Especially those of you who may have lost jobs or have partners who have. I worried a lot. I worried about what would happen. I worried about what could happen. I worried about this and I worried about that. And I do have to say, as mindful as I think I am, as self-aware as I think I am, I have had moments of crippling anxiety this week. I've had moments where I've had to turn off my Zoom camera and sob on the other end. And it's been pretty raw. It's been pretty raw. And the more I worried, the bigger my problem became. I wished it would just disappear. I tried everything I could to hide from it. I even found ways to disguise myself, but it still found me. And it's true, I think sometimes we disguise ourselves with a brave new face. We feel, I think, a sense of hopefulness or the promise of hope that this will not be always the way that it is. And so we take on this image of gratitude and we will it to become who we are. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, that the authentic self still does need to come through. And as a friend said, it's kind of a yin and a yang, and that there are times where we feel that authentic gratitude and there are times when we don't, and that we have to honor both sides of ourselves, and that the two paradoxical personalities can exist in the same space. We can be the two. It's possible. We just have to make space for that acceptance, which is not an easy thing. The more I avoided my problem, the more I saw it everywhere. I thought about it all the time. It I didn't feel good at all. And I think that's true too. Having some space for self-care where you turn the news off and you allow yourself some time to be immersed in nature, to really be present. We went to the beach yesterday and had the most beautiful time raking through the pebbles. And literally the act of doing that for 10 minutes with my children, with the sole purpose of noticing, searching for different colored rocks and sea glass was magical. It really was. And I think it brings us back to what matters. And in a way, it makes us feel insignificant in this world, but it also illuminates kind of what is important and how important those little moments are. I couldn't take it anymore. This has to stop, I declared. Maybe I was making my problem bigger and scarier than it actually was. After all, my problem hadn't really swallowed me up or attacked me. I have to say, when I was met with the prospect of having to go back on the 19th into the school, May 19th, my heart stopped. I went into full panic mode. It was really interesting, actually, to see it from almost like above, like I almost dissociated from who I am and watched myself go into this shutdown mode. And it wasn't so much the prospect of me getting sick with COVID. I think for me, what's most difficult is imagining, where is my child going to go? What is that going to look like for him? How do we ensure social distancing? How responsible are we for that? Knowing that it's hard enough to get these little ones to sit on the carpet. And I think we visualize the worst case scenario as though it were happening. And that could be really, really hard, visualizing the worst case scenario. It's almost as though we are living it. And so our body and our brains really don't differentiate between reality and imagination. And so it's important to, once you've allowed those feelings to happen, to name them and go, oh, this is a stress response. I'm in stress right now. I can't hear what people are saying around me because I'm in fight, flight, or freeze mode. And so I think allowing for that space is incredibly important. And then being able to come back to reality and being able to check your assumptions, to check the narratives that you're telling yourself, to remind yourself that you're not alone in it, and to find a way forward. And I think when we're in a calm space, it's easier to be creative, it's easier to be collaborative, and it's easier to have empathy for the administrators delivering really difficult news, empathy for the health officers and the ministers in charge of the economy, who are not directly at odds, but certainly their perspectives have to differ. And so at some point, you weigh the economy versus individual health. And it's a tough decision to be making. And the alternative to not opening up a little bit is devastating too. And so I think being able to have that perspective taking approach is really, really important here. But we can't take perspective. We can't have empathy. We can't show our compassion for people unless we ourselves are calm. And I think part of that is allowing the feelings to come, but then checking them and reminding ourselves that the worst has not yet happened. I'll continue now with the story. I realized that I had to face it, it being the problem. So even though I didn't want to, even though I was really afraid, I got ready and I tackled my problem. When I got face to face with it, I discovered something. My problem wasn't what I thought it was. I discovered it had something beautiful inside. My problem held an opportunity. And I know right now for some of you, that seems like complete bullshit. because it feels really hard to look at all of this with any sort of perspective that there might be an opportunity hidden within it. But I think about the opportunity that we have right now to rethink education. The opportunity right now that we have to push forward and create lasting bonds with children it's an opportunity. I think the opportunity to take what we've learned about the way that we've adapted to online learning and to integrate it into our classrooms, especially when things go back to, quote, normal. I think that I'm going to bring some of my video making capabilities into the classroom. I think what I'm going to continue doing is recording some of my lessons and sending them home for those parents who want extra. I may not do it all the time, but I think there's value in how do you write a journal entry? And having those kids who need the extra focus on that, they get to go to, for example, a writing workshop center where they can watch that video of you reminding them the important pieces, scaffolding the step-by-step process over and over in your voice without you having to actually necessarily do it every single time. There are ways to automate our learning and our teaching in such a way that it isn't gross. It isn't a kid in front of a computer. It can be you teaching them. It's just asynchronous. And then you can circle back once they've had that instruction, and then you provide that guide and be the guide on the side. And I think there's something really beautiful about that, that we can actually use this experience to bolster our ability to create personalized learning for our children. But I think it takes that innovative perspective. And I think it takes our ability to breathe through this and go, okay, what is the opportunity? So here we go with the book. It was an opportunity for me to learn and to grow, to be brave and to do something. It showed me that it was important to look closely because some opportunities only come once. And it is true. So now I see my problems differently. I'm not afraid of them anymore because I know their secret. Every problem has an opportunity for something good. You just have to look for it. And as I end this little mini podcast host on mic episode, I know it's not always easy to hear that message that there is an opportunity embedded within the struggle. I think it's not something we're all ready to hear, but I think our life is better for it if we can find the opportunity. And so today, I want to leave you with this image. It's an image that I learned from a friend, Kristen Means, who's been on the show. And she and I and a couple of other amazing ladies, including Lisa Bayless, who has also been on the show and is a compassion expert, have talked about. We've gotten together and we've done Saturday morning Zoom sessions just to kind of work through where we're at with all of this. And Kristen brought up this amazing image of what resiliency is. Because I think as much as we present as though we are regulated and calm all the time, I can tell you, I've yelled, I've cried, I've sobbed, like ugly cried. I've laughed, I've felt joy, I've felt calm, I've felt productiveness, I've felt the opposite of production, which is literally laying on the carpet and just feeling the sensation of the floor holding space for me. And I think it's unique to our human experience right now. And it's kind of the beauty of all of it. But it is so easy to judge those emotions. It is so easy to judge our own experience and to condemn it and to tell ourselves that the hard emotions are bad, that the sobbing is something to apologize for, that the anger that you might feel is wrong and it's not cute. Because that's often the messaging that we get. Keep it together. Be calm. It's hard to be calm all the time. In fact, it's not realistic. And so Kristen brought up this image of this flower. And she said, our job is to dysregulate. And it's the job of our children to dysregulate. We do kind of go outside the confines of who we want to be. And so she had this image of, as we do, we kind of go outward from this inner circle. So imagine a circle in the middle. And then as we dysregulate, there's a line that's drawn that goes outward, kind of like a petal on a flower. And as you go outward, you kind of reach this peak of holy smokes, the self-awareness, this isn't where I want to be. And you come back to the center circle, and there's the petal to your flower. But in order to be a full person, a whole person, we do that over and over and over. And in time, each individual petal keeps coming back to the center of who we are. And we create this beautiful flower, which is kind of like evidence of our experience. It's the wisdom that we've built in the difficult challenges. And I don't think that that wisdom is created until we experience that difficulty. And I don't really think that our wisdom is accessible to us until we've felt that dysregulation. And so part of this is making space for those difficult emotions. And part of all of this is being able to model that for our students and our children. And it's being able to come back and apologize. It's about being able to circle back and go, okay, how can I get to where I need to go in a calm way? Because how I just showed up right now, that's not really who I want to be. But I think it's impossible to be calm through all of this. And I think the expectation on yourself to do so means that you're going to reach out for some unhelpful strategies to numb the pain. And I think if you're able to feel all of it fully, that you're able to work through it. And what is that called? That's resilience. So be resilient. Make space for those difficult emotions today. Happy Mother's Day if you're a mother. If you're not yet a mother, but you want to be, happy Mother's Day to you too. I know that it's painful. If you've lost your mother, I'm sorry that she can't be here right now when you really need her. And I'm thinking of you, every single one of you. I appreciate everything that you've offered, the emails that you've sent me, the text messages, the messages on Instagram. And my Instagram handle is Small Act Big Impact. All of that means so much to me. And I respond and read. I respond to everything and I read everything from you. And it bolsters me. It makes it feel worthwhile, this podcast. So thank you. And I wish you well, no matter what this journey brings. My hope is to bring some guests on to do mini episodes in the coming weeks that will hopefully help with imagining what this future will look like. Because I think the next 2 years are going to be different. We've been told that by numerous health officers and leaders. So let's work together to create an opportunity of what this might look like. Thank you for listening.
I want to thank you for the wonderful reviews that you've left for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews make a big difference in helping other educators find this show. If you think that I'm doing good work here and you'd like others to get inspired and join our 21-day kindness challenge and movement, I'd love it if you would take a minute, head over to iTunes and leave a review. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Kindsight 101, the podcast. For links to resources mentioned in this episode, visit smallactbigimpact.com and click on our podcast and choose this episode number. Now, I'd love to give my audience a heads up about my new book, which will provide ideas, actionable strategies, and inquiry-based approaches to creating kinder classroom through serving the community. Subscribe to my blog for more information. Now, I would love to hear from you. What's the biggest insight that you gain from this conversation? Head over to our website, smallactbigimpact.com, leave a comment on our podcast page, or tag and connect with us on social media with the hashtag #SmallActBigImpact to share your inspiring story of kindness. Can't wait to hear from you.